The year I met my wife, my parents got an invitation for tea at Buckingham Palace. For those of you not familiar with that address, that's where the Queen of England lives. And it was her golden wedding anniversary, and so she wanted to celebrate with some common folk, I guess. That was how we got the invite. And being a child over the age of 18, my brother, older brother and I were both invited along. What that meant was they sent an invitation. It has a list of what you can wear. Maybe you need to wear your uniform if you're in the services or in charity. You could wear national costume, or you have to go in morning dress, which is not particularly formal, but it's pretty smart. And so that was kind of the thing. So, well, the day arrives, we pick out our best suits, we've got our ties on, we drive up in my dad's secondhand Ford Sierra. We park up on Constitution Hill next to Green Park, walk across the road, and we go into the palace. There's 8 million people live in London. It's the most traveled to international destination in the world. But on that day, only a few of us went into the palace. We were welcomed by footmen in their fancy costumes and taken through rooms that I'd only ever seen before on pictures of royal weddings or on television. And suddenly you're walking through these chambers, these royal chambers, paintings on the wall that are hundreds of years old, gold everywhere. It's crazy. You're walking through, you come down to the back doors, you're through the back doors, down these steps onto the lawn, and there you are in the garden at Buckingham Palace. But I was raised watching royal weddings, and for me, this was like, wow. The day was amazing. We got to hang out at the palace and eat amazing food. I mean, like sandwiches you never had before, and all kinds of pastries and cakes and things, and the most amazing Devonshire ice cream. The music was amazing. There was two bands in their red coats, you know, like the royal household. And the one would run up their flag and they'd be playing. And then when they finished, their flag went down and the other band stand at the other end of the lawn. They ran their flag up and then they started playing. And so there's music and there's food and there's amazing company who we didn't really get to talk to anyone much because we weren't famous. And then there was the Queen, although we also didn't get to talk to her because we're not famous. So all in all, the net result is, yes, you've been for tea at the palace with 5,000 other people, because that's how many people were invited that day. Suddenly it sounds less amazing, doesn't it? 5,000 people crammed into a garden where you don't even get to talk to the person whose celebration it is. And the reason I'm saying all of this, the reason I'm telling this story, is that there's some analogies here with worship. And a big part of what we do in church is worship. I mean, when you come to church on a Sunday and you celebrate any kind of celebration, normally at least a third of what we're doing is sung worship and praise and all kind of prophetic spontaneous stuff. And it's amazing that that happens. And there's a huge emphasis on there. But I think there's some things that sometimes we forget about worship, which we can maybe look at using this story as an inspiration. The first is, I only got invited to the palace on my parents' invitation. I wasn't invited. My dad, because of the work he was doing at that time, made it onto the list. And that's how I ended up there. But that's not how it works with God. When Jesus died, he died for every single one of us individually. And we need to respond personally to that invitation. And it's the same in worship. When we come together in worship, it's not that the worship leader can do the worshiping for us and we sort of participate passively by watching or enjoying what's done. And one of the challenges in the season we're in now with COVID is many of our congregations around the world, we're not allowed to sing, we're not allowed to vocalize our praise. And so we're moving into even perhaps more of a spectator pattern. We don't want to land there. We can't afford to land there, because to meet with God is something profoundly personal. It's something that each of us needs to engage with on the very most personal level. And so my experience at the palace is so different to how it is when we come to God, because when we come to God, it's on a personal invitation. And when we come to God, it's because the Father himself loves us and has drawn us and has called us and has invited us and has made a way for us to come in. The second point, we got sent a list of how we should dress. So maybe it was uniform, maybe it was national costume, maybe it was just dressed really smart. And this, I think, speaks of how many of us approach coming into the presence of God and how many of us approach church, actually, that we come dressed in our best. And I'm not talking about the clothes we wear here. Dressing in uniform could be to do with our works. Uniform normally represents a job or a career or services or charity. And many of us in church, part of our identity stems from what we do. Then there's the national costume. For us, many of us as Christians, we have a lot of identity that actually comes from our culture and from our nationality. And like for myself being English, there's things that I think just because that's where I was born. It's not choices I made to think that way. It's kind of a programming that comes in through culture. But what we see in the book of Revelation is we see people of every tribe, every tongue, all coming together around before the throne and before the Lamb. But what are they wearing? They're not wearing their national dress. They're wearing the white robes that they've been given as those who've been chosen by God and brought in by God. And so there's a sense in which actually there's a lot of things that we can allow to fall away, that we don't need to have so much of our own identity when we come before God. Actually, the identity we need is the identity we've been given through His Son. That actually, because Jesus died for us, because He gave Himself for us, we have a new identity. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so now the life I live and the life we live as we worship, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's by His grace that we're able to come into His presence and worship Him with the words He gives, with the life and with the breath that He gives. There's that song, "It's Your Breath in My Lungs." And it's so true. Even the breath we have to worship God comes from God. And so we don't need a ton of our identity. Maybe the uniform, the works, the good things that we do, dressing up smart, those aren't things that matter to God when it comes to worship. We don't come in to impress Him. We don't come in to prove that we're worthy of being in His presence. There is nothing that will make you worthy of being in His presence other than the blood of Jesus. And so when we come in, it's not dressed in our uniform, it's not dressed in our national costume, it's not dressed in our smartest clothes, it's dressed, covered with the blood of Jesus, covered in those white robes that He gives us as His children and as his precious, precious chosen saints. We were welcomed by these footmen and we were taken in. And like I say, there's 8 million people live in London. Why wasn't it someone else? Well, the reason it wasn't someone else that day going in through those big black and gold gates outside the palace, the reason it wasn't someone else is the invitation. If someone else had an invitation, they also got in. But if you didn't have an invitation, you didn't come in. For us, there's a means by which we have entrance into the presence of God. And as I've said already, that is only and always the blood of Jesus. There is no song that can get you into the presence of God. There is no worship leader who can get you into the presence of God. There's no apostle, pastor, prophet, evangelist who can get you into the presence of God. Only the blood of Jesus can get you into the presence of God. And what that means is that our coming into a time of worship, our stepping into God's presence and worshiping Him is something we do by faith. It's not something that is a mechanical process. It's not we've got to get the right song in the right key, in the right mood, and the mix has to be right, and oh, he played a wrong note, so now I can't worship God. That's not how it works. It's wonderful when we have all those things in place, but it's the blood of Jesus that gets us in. And if we ever forget that, we move into a dead form of religion that actually denies the power of what God has done in sending His Son Jesus to die for us. We need to embrace that my only way into the presence of God is by the blood of Jesus. So important. In Hebrews, it talks about us coming in by the blood of Jesus through a new and living way, which is the veil torn, His body. And so what the writer to the Hebrews says is actually the veil that was torn in the temple at the time that Jesus died was a picture of Jesus' own body being torn. And that literally, just as suddenly we could see into the presence of God through that curtain that was torn in the temple, in the same way, because of Jesus' body being torn, we can literally come into the presence of God. But where is the presence of God? Well, it's not in a temple made with human hands. And so it's not on this earth in the same physical way that it was in the time of Solomon, or it was in the time of David in the tabernacle in Jerusalem, where the presence of God would be visible, or even with Moses where there was a cloud of glory. It's not that now. It's something that we access by faith. It's something that we access in a temple not made with human hands, a place above us, a place beyond us, another place, and yet so real. Because by faith, we stand there and we worship God from that place. We were surrounded in that garden by many famous people. And it would have been easy to go, oh, I remember seeing John Major, who's a former prime minister. And then there were some sports personalities, some entertainment people. I think Ronnie Corbett was there. You know, these might be names you know, maybe they're names you don't know. To me, growing up in the UK, these were very familiar names. And so I was kind of like, whoa. But the moment the Queen walked out, none of that mattered. Because of all the people present, there was no one more impressive than this one person. And one of the things sometimes in church, we can get quite hung up on this person or that person. We can have our heroes. We can have those people we look up to. And it's important to honor our leaders. It's important that we are respectful towards men that God has anointed. But none of them take the place of God. None of them take the place of Jesus. There's a song, when I look into your holiness, when I gaze upon your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. And that idea that around us, whatever we're surrounded by, whether it be great men of God, whether it be worship leaders who are skilled and anointed, none of that matters in the way that Jesus matters, in the way that our gazing upon God matters. As a worship leader myself, sometimes I get quite nervous when I'm worship leading with other people there. So maybe if there's someone who's like an apostle or someone who's really gifted and anointed, that makes me nervous. But the point is, why should I be nervous because they're there when every time I worship, he is there? I mean, surely the person who should give me the most nerves, the person who should put me most on my mettle is God. Like, he's the one in whose presence I'm coming in and pouring out deep and intimate things and pouring out heart and pouring out and making myself vulnerable. He's the one I'm doing that before. And so ultimately, it's a posture of our heart, and it's something to do with our faith and how we position ourselves towards God that is not dependent. We love that there are gifted musicians and gifted worship leaders. I love that there are people who have written songs that we can use to come into the presence of God. But ultimately, those things don't get us there. It's the blood of Jesus that gets us there. And when we're there, those things aren't the thing we need to be focused on. If someone plays a song too fast or too slow, if someone plays it in a different key to how you like it, if someone plays a song you don't like, you could still worship and meet God there. Because it's not about the things that surround us. It's about fixing our eyes on him and seeing him for who he is and worshiping him. There was a moment in the book of Acts where Barnabas and Paul arrive and they've done some miraculous signs. And so what happens is the people actually start to worship them. They say one of them is Apollo and name another for another god, and they bring offerings. And well, the moment that Barnabas and Paul find out this is about to happen and they're literally going to make sacrifices to them, they rush amongst them and they say, no, no, no. They shout. They say, no, we are men of the same nature as you. And it should be the heart of every minister who ministers in church. It should be the heart of every preacher, of every worship leader, that they would say, no, 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 we are men of the same nature as you. That when we come into worship, it's not that I am special and so I lead you somewhere that you couldn't go. No, no, no. It's that God has given a grace to me that will bring something different than if you were worshiping on your own. But the way you get into the presence of God is the blood of Jesus. The way I get into the presence of God, it's the blood of Jesus. In that, we are equal and we are the same. And although there's different graces on different lives, the important one is the life that we focus on, the life of God, Jesus, the one who made a way for us to come into the presence of God, which is so important. The last thing I think from this, the food was amazing. The music was amazing. We were surrounded by amazing people. Leaders of industry, leaders of entertainment, leaders in the political realm, There was prime ministers there from my childhood. There was prime ministers there from my mother's childhood. I mean, it was like full spectrum of greats. And there was a sense in which this was a great experience. It was a wonderful time. And yet we never met Her Majesty the Queen. We never actually got to shake hands with her. We'd had her food. We'd enjoyed the music. We'd been in great company. But we never actually got to meet Her Majesty. And for some of us, that might be quite like the experience we have coming to church on a Sunday or meeting with people in a home or any time of worship we come into. We maybe play the music in our car and we love the songs, but we don't find a connection with the person Jesus, with God himself. Maybe we come to church on a Sunday and we love the music, or maybe we don't like the music. Maybe we're waiting for the preach and that good food, you know, those tasty pastries that the preacher is going to hand out from the pulpit. Maybe that's what we come for. Maybe we do enjoy the tunes and we've got favorite songs and we love it when that guy's leading because he's just so gifted and so anointed. But maybe even in all of that, we never really get to meet God. The difference between my experience at the palace and our experience when we come to worship is there is always, always an opportunity to meet God. Because by faith, we just do. Now, I might need to unpack that a bit. It might sound a bit like, well, what do you mean you just do? Like, be the bull. Like, what is this, some kind of headspace thing? No, it's faith. This is how faith works. How did you get saved, if you are saved? When we come to God, we repent of our sins. We acknowledge that we can't find holiness on our own. We can't find peace with God on our own. We can't find a way to access the pleasure of God or the favor of God on our own. We're just not good enough. And so the first thing we do is we repent. And what that word means is we just say, sorry, God, that I've been trying to do this on my own and I can't. I'm not good enough on my own. And then we believe. So it's repentance and faith. We have to repent and we have to believe in God. And at that point, we're saved. And what does that look like? Is it a feeling? Is it an experience? Do you get a certificate? No, it's by faith. And so some people may have an experience. Some people may have a feeling. Many people, it's just something that happens. It's a decision. They say these things out loud. They believe it in their heart. And the changes can be very subtle. How did you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, when some people get filled with the Holy Spirit, they pray or someone lays hands on them and there's some kind of amazing demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Maybe they fall over or maybe they speak in tongues or some other sign. Maybe they shake or have a warm feeling. Some people don't have any of those things. But how do we know we've been filled? Well, Jesus said that literally the only way we receive the Holy Spirit is to ask. If we've asked, we've received. And don't imagine that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, he said, well, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks? So how do we receive the Spirit? By faith. How do we worship? By faith. It's not up to the experience. It's not up to the goosebumps. It's not up to the feeling. Wow, okay, now I know I'm in the presence of God because ooh, that was just awesome. Like, maybe that's going to happen. Maybe there's going to be a sense in our physical body of some sensation or some idea of the presence of God being real. But remember, we don't live in the time of David with a tabernacle. We don't live in the time of Solomon with a temple full of the glory of God. We are the temple. We as people, as individuals, are those that God has come and made his habitation in us. He lives in us. And so when we come to worship, we're not waiting for an external sign. We're not waiting for the right moment or the right mood. What we're doing is we're coming by faith. And Hebrews tells us how to do this. It says, come with faith. It says, draw near in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. In other words, we repent of sin that might keep us out of the holiness and the presence of God. But we come with confidence through the blood of Jesus, through that new and living way. And so when we do that, when by faith we do that, we can close our eyes and suddenly we're in the presence of God. And it doesn't take a bunch of other things. What it takes is the blood of Jesus and faith. And we can be in the presence of God. And so today, what we want to do is we want to move into a time of worship. And we're not going to just jump straight into songs. Songs are great. But we're not going to do that today. What I want to do is I just want to take us through a process of coming into the presence of God. Like I say, all we need is the blood of Jesus and faith. But if you've never done this before, then maybe we can help you learn how to do that for yourself. And so that's what we're going to do. I'd love just to pray for us. Maybe you're here this today and you're watching this and you have never actually come to that point of ever having any personal relationship with God. And it would be wonderful if you would pray with me now. I would love to introduce you to him and allow you to experience what we're about to do in worship for the first time and really encounter him in a real and meaningful way. As I said already, when we come to God, the first thing we have to acknowledge is that we're not good enough, that there's things in our life that don't please him. And even the things we thought were good, they're not as good as God. And so we repent. That's the word we use for that thing, is where we say, sorry, God. And then we believe. And what do we have to believe? Well, we just need to believe that God is, that he exists, that his son Jesus came and died in our place. We deserve death for all the things we've done. But Jesus died so that punishment could go on him and we could have this relationship with God that I've been talking about. And so if you'd like to pray that, I'd love to do that with you now. I would love just to lead you in a prayer. Maybe close your eyes where you are and just pray something like this. Say, Father God, I thank you that although I am not good enough to experience your presence, you made a way. That though I am full of sin, Jesus was made sin and died for me, so I can experience your peace and your pleasure and your favor. Thank you, God, for your wonderful grace. Thank you, God, for the love you showed me. Please receive me as your child. Accept me as your child. I want to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. If you've prayed something like that, then you can know that God has met you in that moment of prayer, and he meets you with love, and he meets you with grace, and he wants to invite you now into his presence. And so that's what we're going to do. Just where you are, just quieten your heart. In Hebrews it says that we come with boldness, but it's because our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. And that speaks of a cleansing, it speaks of a forgiveness that comes from God. And so in this moment, if there's things that you know you need to be forgiven of, then just give those things to God now. Just say, God, this is what I've done. This is where I need your grace. This is where I need your forgiveness. Just take a moment. When Jesus spoke about coming to bring an offering, he also reminded us it's important that we have forgiveness ourselves towards others. You know, and in the prayer he gave us, he said that, you know, God would forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. And so in coming into his presence, take a moment and just, if there is someone you need to forgive, then do that in this moment. Let go of resentment. Let go of anger. Let go of strife. Maybe the person you need to forgive is yourself. Let go of regret.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now thank God. Thank God for his son. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that makes a way for us. Thank God for the body of Jesus broken so we can come through that body into the presence of the Father with boldness and with exceedingly great joy.
You're the beautiful one.
We love your name. How we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. You're the beautiful one. We love your name.
We love your name.
How we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. No other God can be called the Father. No other God can be called your friend. No other God can be called Redeemer. No other God is coming back again. Oh, how we love you. You're the beautiful one. We love your name, Jesus. And we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. We love the fragrance of your holy name. You came and brought us into the reign of grace. Oh, the fragrance, oh, we love the fragrance of your holy name. You came and brought us into the reign of grace. We love the fragrance of your holy name. You came and brought us into the reign of grace.
Because of you, Jesus, we're standing.
we came in by the blood of the Lamb. Because of you, Jesus, we're standing face to face. Because of you, Jesus, we're standing face to face. Because of you, Jesus, we're standing face to face. I came in by the blood of the Lamb. I came in by the blood of the Lamb. This moment is so key that we remember it's the blood of Jesus that brought us here. It's the blood of Jesus that brought us into his presence. And you may feel something, maybe you don't, but by faith we draw near. By faith we come through his body, through his blood. By faith, we come into his presence and we see him and we know him and we know that we are known by him. It's an intimate moment. Standing before God, knowing that he knows us, knowing that he loves us, knowing he gave his son to die for us. And through all of eternity, through all the ages and the ages to come, we will always sing that he is worthy, that he's glorious, that he's wonderful, because with his blood he purchased men for God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I have such a sense in my heart. Jesus said, I will give you my peace. Such a sense in my heart that for some of you, he wants to give his peace. And he gave this invitation, come to me. Come to me. And I hear that invitation in my heart today. Come to me. I will give you rest. Would you open your heart? Just receive this invitation. Wants to give you peace. Just receive it. Just receive it. Give you my peace, he said. And I see some of you are in battles. It's as if the Spirit of the Lord wants to disarm you today and just say, find my peace. I am with you always. You are here, touching every heart. Oh, we worship you. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, and you are here, healing broken lives. I worship you, and you are here, turning lives around.
My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
We believe in you.
Are the Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You are the Waymaker,
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Yes, Lord.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop. Woo! Working. You never stop, you never stop.
You never
working.
Stop.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never
yeah.
stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop working. You never stop, yes, you are here. Moving in our midst,
oh.
I worship you. Darkness, my God,
That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. That is who you are.